Krishna, Hari Hari. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Ah, that's good, huh? That's good. Rama, Rama. Okay, alright. Okay, okay. Hare Krishna. I don't know, a little more? A little more, maybe. Just a little bit, a little bit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Okay, yeah, okay. So, how many verses in Upadeshamrita? Yeah, like a codicil. And 18 here, like the Puranas. Yeah. Okay. And how are they divided? According to our analysis, just can you describe them? What is your good name, Prabhu?
Ameyatta.
Huh? Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. It's a Upanishad. Yeah. What kind of groupings do you have? Do you have any kind of sense for like just like a random chaos or?
I've got some idea, but I probably wouldn't be able to explain it so well.
Yeah, just in general. What do you think?
I seem to be moving from the taking people from the impersonal perception to the personal perception, because at the end you have that the devotee is trying to reveal, take away the glaring apologies.
Yeah, it's very personal. The first two verses, the invocation and the first verse, they have some relationship. Om Purnam Adaya Purnamidam. What does it mean, translation? Om Purnam. Roughly speaking. Yeah. All the emanations from him. Okay. And, okay. And then the first verse? Ishavashyam idam sarvam.
Everything is controlled by Krishna.
Yeah. And therefore, we can take all we want to because he's our father. Yeah. And that's kind of what Prabhupada is especially, he quotes those. Ishavashya he quotes many times. And then, so again, anybody else? Have a overview, Isopanishad. How is it organized? What is verse number two then? Talk about. Number one says everything is complete. You don't worry. There's enough for everybody. There'll be enough prasadam for everybody. Don't worry. You can serve out. And number one says it actually is controlled. Everybody gets their quota. Yeah, like that. Number two says... Yeah? We can aspire to live for hundreds of years. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. And then number three, text number three.
Result of not following what is there for worse fun.
Yeah, we go to hell if you don't follow, so... It's again and again, Bhagavad Gita and everything you find is contrast, again and again like that. Yeah. Okay, and then after that, how many verses? We could have put those in a group. Invocation, and 1, 2, 3. And then we have... 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. How are those grouped? Any feeling for those? It talks about Radharani's hair, if it's curly or straight, how many cowherd boys are in the forest.
There's about Paramatma can go walk also, can also. So he's a person basically.
Well, he has senses, but they aren't like our senses. Yeah. Where is he? Where is he, Ishwara?
He's very near also, very far also.
Yeah. He's in his abode, but he never leaves his abode, but he's everywhere. You know? So again, it's riddles, like that. Try and like make all these very intellectual people think about this, you know, yeah. Like the Albert Einstein, like, the uncertainty principle, yeah. Okay. But that's 4 and 5 talk about, 4 and 5 talk about the universal form, Paramatma, 4 and 5, and then 6 and 7? Yeah. Yeah. And they see what? You have to get yours before everybody else gets it from you, right? Yeah. You have to get it before all the hoarders do. Yeah. One lady said that. No. No. What is it?
Equal vision.
Yeah, what does he see? No? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, all living entities are like the hands. Everybody is part and parcel of Krishna. And we're all connected to the same person. And as a result of that,
fearless, anxiety-less.
No fear.
No anxiety, no illusion.
No anxiety. Yeah.
No illusion.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So very nice. Yeah. And then the last text, let's see, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Again, Paramatma.
Yes, you have to know this. You must know this. Yeah, like that. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Yep. Yep. And then 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then we have 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. How do those divide up? Over there. Because two groups. Almost the verses are almost identical, right? You can match them up almost word for word. 9, 10, 11, and 12, 13, 14. This the, you know, 9 matches with 12, and 10 matches with 11. It's almost identical word for word. But the first series talks about one thing, and the second series talks about something else. Yeah, first one talks about knowledge. And this is our knowing, and the second group talks about... Yeah, what you do about it, you know, who you worship, like that, you know. Yeah. Okay, what is your good name? Okay. Oh, very nice. Wow, yeah. So it talks about knowledge, but it talks about different kinds of knowledge, different kinds of teachers. What kind of knowledge and what kind of teachers does it talk about? Yusupanishad informed us about different kinds of people knowing. Yeah, yeah. Is it Sanskrit? Yeah, Veda Vada Rata, like that. And they're mostly teaching about how to conquer this world, about the demigods, and you know, based upon different sources of knowledge, the Vedas and stuff like that. You know, so they're who are they teaching?
Common.
Huh? Yeah, fools. Yeah, fools are learning from them. Yeah. So there's the. There's the fools educated by the Vedavata Ratas, but there's another kind of fool. No. That's the teachers. No, that's the teachers. Yeah. No. There's just the ordinary fools don't have teachers. So who's better off? The ordinary fool without a bad teacher, or the ordinary fool with a bad teacher? Yeah. They just kind of going on. They carry on their lives without. You know, just making stupid mistakes, but then these guys teach them how to, like I was saying, how to invent birth control pills and, you know, nuclear weapons and everything else, and the world becomes converted into a hell, you know, beyond like just what ordinary people would live like that. Yeah. Yeah, ignorant. But basically then there's, actually in many cases, even the Vedavata Ratas, we can consider that a lot of them may not be bad people. They just don't know anything really else, and like that. You know, when they get an opportunity, they give it up, like that. You know, being false gurus. You know, in many cases, people came in contact with ISKCON, and they ceased being false gurus. So there's the ignorant people, just don't know anything, and they come in contact with Vedavada Radhas, who then teach them how to manipulate the Vedas and things like that. And they, you know, again, an example is that. You know, no king is better than a bad king. So you get somebody who's teaching you how to do these things intelligently, then oh my, you really create bad karma for yourself, you know. One devotee, for example, his father, he's from Peru, Lakshmana Garajaha, and his father was a teacher with the government, and a lot of times he was stationed in the mountains up in the hills, and very simple village people there. And he said they wouldn't eat meat that much, you know. Because, you know, it's very expensive. You know, the animals, they work, they do things, they produce milk. And every now and then, he said, usually pretty much it was when they were dying or going to die, that they would then like kill them and then have meat, you know. Chicken was more common, but it was just, beef was like rare, you know. So that's kind of an ordinary, ignorant person, you know. But then with the Veda Vadas, Radhas teach them how to produce bovine growth hormone and, you know, mechanical slaughterhouses and all these things, you know, just, and then they start killing animals like anything, right? And there's so much reaction from that in so many ways, physical reactions immediately from health and hygiene. But then also then, you know, long-term basis, she produces, you know, really bad karma, you know. So there's the ignorant people, there's the Veda Vada Ratas. Then what's the other kind of bad teacher?
Maya
Pavitagyanas. Okay, what are they teaching? Huh? Yeah, but the Veda Vada Ratas are teaching us kind of like how to dominate this world and you know, find yourself a good position in this world, worship the demigods, and the Maya Paitagyanas? Yeah, you are God. It's like even more intense, you know, like that. They don't teach you, you know, okay, you can become God. There's one, Baba Ram Das, I'm not sure where he is now. He was a professor at Harvard. His name was Henry Alpert. And he was some spiritual background. So he gone through all these things. He became a professor at Harvard and would go scuba diving in the Bahamas and so many things, you know. But he said, then he began to think, well, I'm still not satisfied. Who am I, you know? So finally he came to India. He was doing this big hippie revolution in the United States, 1960s, looking for something. And eventually he came in contact with Nim Karoli Baba. He was a great kind of mad magician type guy. He did stuff apparently like that. He was staying in Vrindavan mostly. He also has a temple in Lucknow. He left his body. His tomb is in Vrindavan on the Parikrama path. And apparently it was, but anyway, so you know, Baba Ram Das, what he got from him was that, you know, he had really good analysis of the whole material world, everything that's happening like that, but he went beyond all the demigods and came to the point of like this, you know, this impersonal, not impersonal, but whatever it is. He said, nobody knows like that, you know. But a guru has to take you there, right? And then my guru, he's gone there, and now he's having sex with every part of the universe at every moment, like that, right? This is something even Indra doesn't dream of, right? Indra dreams of having sex with Sachi. But then, oh wow, you know, I can become Lord Shiva, and then the goddess Durga will be my wife, and I can have sex with every part of the universe continuously. So the Veda Vada Ratas are, you know, inspiring people for the greatest illusion. You know, and sometimes their senses are very controlled, their minds are very controlled, they're charitable, everything else. But in their heart, they're in the greatest illusion, the greatest ignorance. Their senses and mind may be in goodness, but in their heart they may be in, you know, the most greatest delusion like that. There's one movie, quite some time ago. It was, you know, black people in America, and the title of the movie was "Honey, Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God." So that's kind of like, yeah, you always remember how big God is and stuff, you know. Okay, because of this knowledge. Then it's talking about worshiping different kinds of people. Oh yeah, we got everything. Oh yeah. Then beyond this, okay. Then people who actually know what's going on, and how do they? Who are their teachers? We have the Vedavata Ratas, the Maya Paritagyanas, and Dhiras. Okay. How do you become a Dhira? You're there back there. Yeah. You. You don't know. By doing Hatha Yoga? Yeah. How do you become a Dhira? Huh? Yeah, by hearing from a Dhira. Yeah. And the Dhira will tell you, I think that maybe, I thought it over and I think that maybe it's like this. That's what the Dhira says? What does the Dhira say? Okay, what has he heard? Yeah, back to Krishna. But it means scripture. Scripture, like that. Krishna himself produces Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita in the form of Vyasa. So the content, we said before, Prabhupada said that there's, what is there? There's Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. But amongst these, the Shastra is principle. Because Guru and Sadhu are simply people who realize it in great detail and different connections. They can explain it to you from different sources, you know, in the third canto says this, fourth canto says that, like that. So Guru simply explains Shastra. As I learn more and more about different more and more verses and things like that, when I'm reading Prabhupada's purports, I'm seeing that more and more, it's what I've heard Prabhupada said, that he's simply paraphrasing this verse or directly quoting this, and he puts a little glue to hold it together, like that. Maybe some realization sometimes, but most you see is just the same ideas again and again, different angles, same Maha Mantra over and over again. And it's iconographic. We're just, you know, becoming more and more focused. You know, we're not going forward in time. We're just becoming more and more focused on the same point, like that. Chant Hare Krishna. You don't have to read anything. Okay, two mantras are enough. Yeah, there'll be a mantra test at the time of death, also. Yeah, Yamaraj. To test your Maha Mantra. Is your Bhakti Shastri or not? Well, I'm boiling you in oil for that. Yes, sir.
Prabhupada gave,
you said
in that class, you said that
yeah, she's the Shiva Linga is Lord Shiva's genital, and actually she was, as I understand the story, she left her body as Sati, yeah, and then she took birth as a daughter of the king of Manipur, and he was looking for, you know, husbands for all of his daughters, and most of the princesses were, like, you know, enthused by different people, but she didn't like any of them, so she would just go off in the forest every day and, you know, appreciate, you know, Bharat Rup. And she saw this yogi meditating there naked, and she sat down next to him, and finally she decided, yeah, this is the guy I want. So every day she started pouring, offering flowers and water to his genitals, you know, with Shiva. And he'd wake up, there was, like, you know, flowers and water in his genitals, you know. So she was, like, very direct about her desires like that. So finally he accepted, you know. So people don't know this, but all these young girls who are worshiping the Shiva Linga, putting this Lord Shiva's genital, these girls are touching it, and Prabhu says so many people are touching Lord Shiva's genitals, we're not disturbed, like that. It's kind of a, we don't talk about it much, you know, in Brahmachari class, you know, but, you know, so you should know, maybe, like that, somebody, you know, so you're worshiping the genitals of your God, you know, well, yeah, kind of, you know, like that, be not disturbed, yeah, yeah. So Dira, and Krishna's even more Dira. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Lord Shiva was disturbed by Mohini Murti. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe this is a little bit out of the context, but I heard that in Mecca, when the Muslims
come, yeah. I've heard the same thing, but you hear a lot of things, you know. But sort of, but yeah, because you have to offer a goat, kill a goat before you go there, like that. Yeah, but that's what it was. It was like a Shiva Linga, you know. Heard that, you know. Said that. Okay.
Vedvadrata we discuss it.
Yeah.
So here is it not just people who are, like, misutilizing Vedas, or it's like people who just have a goal of sense gratification and they are propagating any theory?
Well again, East Upanishad is directed towards, you know, a certain class of people, basically almost like, you know, educated Hindus, educated Indians for the most part. And so then he's talking about Vedas and, you know, that kind of knowledge like that. You know. But it says Veda Bhattarata, you know, so it's like... But Prabhupada says also, too, every form of knowledge we have ultimately is Veda, you know. So, for example, like Kannada is presenting that ultimately everything is made of atoms. And then we find the same idea in Democritus in Greece. And probably, you know, if you chase it, he came like that with some caravan or something. They actually have historical things like this. All the information is coming from India and different communities developing knowledge like that. So then Democritus has this idea that everything is made of atoms. Then it goes then, you know, to the modern world with Einstein and Bohr and Fermi and all, you know, these guys like that. You know? That's okay. So if everything is made of atoms, then the thing is we can exploit them, and abortion doesn't matter. You know, how we treat the animals doesn't matter. They're all made of atoms. You know? So those kind of people that are, you know, preaching that knowledge to the common man, And they could also be, I would say, be called the Veda Vataratas, because the knowledge is ultimately coming from the Vedas.
Those people who are just attached to the literal meaning of the Vedas, not to the knowledge, they are attached to the literal thing, not to the essence. Like here, they are not attached to the essence of Krishna
consciousness. Yeah.
They are attached to sense gratification, desires.
I wouldn't say they're attached to the rituals, because somebody may be innocent. The Prabhupada says in our reading this today, he says by following the karma rules of karma, one is promoted to be a jnani, like that. So if one is following without an ulterior motive, without a evil motive, then it's okay. He inspires other people. You should tell somebody you should follow the four principles, like that. Well, why? I don't know, but it's, I guess this is good, and you should do it. Okay. The Prabhupada says imitation of a good thing is good. Because then you start to develop knowledge. Describing like that. Then you become a jnani. And jnanis very quickly become devotees. Jnanis very quickly become devotees, right? Or wrong?
Wrong.
Bahunam. Bahunam means many. Bahunam janma, birth. Bahunam jamanam ante. Ganavan. He possesses jnana, Bhagavan, Ganavan Mam, Prabhajunte, Nishringamanim, Zaranam, Babaji. You go reading more and more, you start seeing the words like that, some vocabulary. There's a little book by one devotee, I forget his name, Venu something? Venu? From Vrindavan. So the real small summary overview of the Sanskrit language. And I know devotees who are, big Sanskritists, they look at it and say it's wonderful. It's like, it includes everything in a very nice, systematic. By the end of the thing, you can say in Sanskrit, "I am a fat grihasta." That is old. It's kind of oriented like that, But I haven't. But it's very nice. You see a copy like that because it gives you like a general overview of the Sanskrit, and then when you're reading the verses every day, you can start to like pick out like the declensions and things like that and stuff, and then your Sanskrit starts to accelerate. Because vocabulary kind of pick up naturally, but then the grammar a little bit. Oh yeah, like that. I kind of put this at the Bhakti by Baba level, Yes, sir. No, not much. I mean, historians and stuff like that, they have like, descriptions about how a certain person went traveling, came back, and then spread, developed a following of certain things. And his student was so-and-so. And the Phaedo, which is the last dialogue by Socrates, he says, there is a very ancient doctrine which says that all dead souls come from living souls, and all living souls come from dead souls. So he says there is a very ancient doctrine. Yeah, reincarnation, other things too. There are historical studies and stuff like that, which indicate that, this is kind of like, the most reasonable perspective is that from India there was always communication, and the idea is, that's what Dr. Kit Sikas, our friend from the University of Ottawa, he's a big guy, Royal Academy, everything else. He's in seven different international who's. But he went through like that and, finding information, everything else, and his whole thesis was that India was always the upper spiritual planet from which east and west to China on one side and to Iran, Iraq on the other side. It went like that. But it goes back, Prabhupada says basically more than 2,000 years, forget it. They also say the same thing. They're just speculating, about Ahuri Mazda and, Zoroaster. Okay. Let's go ahead with our verses today then. Okay, text number 15, 16, 17, 18. Okay, let's chant number 15. Here we are, 15. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukam tatvam pusham aparenu satyam dharmaya drishtaye. Okay, My afterwards, I'm reading these things. For number 15, I think it was really good. I liked it. It was like, it was just kind of like as it is. But for 16, 17, 18, I think it was a waste of time. But anyway, at least it gives you some idea of you know, things to disagree with. You know, like that. So, what do we have here? Where is it? Oh, yeah, okay, 15. One thing was, see, a lot of the paragraphs are misnumbered, and that's because all I had was a printout from a computer and didn't have the carriage returns in the right place, so I had to, like, estimate where the paragraph things were. And this one I have is, okay, yes, okay, we think this verse is so nice to combat the idea that the Upanishads, Vedas, present an impersonal idea of God. The word mukham is so clear. The next text continues with the same idea. This is text 15. And if you look at Bhagavad Gita 15:15, you see that it also falls into the same idea. The Vedas talk about Krishna. So it's nice, nice, what's the word? Mnemonic device. Mnemonic device. Memory device. You see Upanishad 15, Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Sarvasya chaham riddhi sani visto matas matir gyanam aponam cha vedais cha sarer aham eva vedo vedanta vid veda krid eva chaham. And learn to memorize the word by word meaning. Okay. We have here is that paragraph 1 Prabhupada is talking about Hiranmayena, the Brahmajyoti. And then he goes ahead, and it's also in paragraph 1. I think I got messed up because there's a text there. But also in paragraph 1, then he talks about Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So if somebody had no other text but Prabhupada, but this book, if it's the first book you got, then it's enough, right? You know, some concepts may be a little strange, but basically Prabhupada explains everything, you know, from the ground up. So this is being quoted from the Bhagavad Gita 14:27. Brahmano hi pratistaham amritasya vyasya cha saspatasya chadarmasya sukhasya kantikasya cha. So actually what you should memorize is just the first line. You know, I mean, if you're going to memorize something. Brahmano hi pratistaham. What does he mean? Certainly. Brahmano hi and pratista? Iskam pratista acharya. Founder acharya. Yeah. Yeah. So it's very clear again. Yeah. And aham means?
I.
It means the impersonal I within Krishna. That's what he's saying. I didn't say that. It means the impersonal I am within Krishna. The I am. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Brahmano hi pratista aham. Okay. Yeah. So that's okay. Pretty clear idea, right? And Prabhupada quotes some other sources. Actually, he gives he quotes Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, Mata Parantaram Nanyat, 10:42. What is the use of all this? Ekankstena stito jagat. He's giving all, I'm among fish, I am the shark, among immovable objects, I am Himalayas, among the mountains, I am Meru, yeah. And he says, but what is the use of all this detailed knowledge? Stito, fixed, I maintain the universe. And then Prabhupada says, at the end of the page there, he also maintains all manifestations in the spiritual world. Yeah. Therefore, this Shruti mantra of Upanishad, the Lord is addressed as Pushan, the ultimate maintainer. Right? Pushan, the ultimate maintainer. Okay. Yeah.
This Brahmano hi pratistham is quite clear.
Yeah.
What do the Mayavadis say about this?
They say aham. Aham means the principle of aham. Yeah, yeah, but probably. In Bhagavad Gita, I think you can kind of get away with it, but in Bhagavatam, it's totally ridiculous, you know, like that. You know, it's like again, if you go to a restaurant and you have to use the bathroom, what's behind there? You go there. There are two doors, right? Purusha and Stri, right? So everybody knows what the word Purusha means, like that. So to translate it as something else is just really difficult, you know. And so I've seen Mayavadi translations. Akama, sarvakama, mokshakama, udharati, tirena, bhakti yogena, yajate, purusham, param. And I wonder, how is the guy going to translate this? Yes, you know? He says, you must worship the Supreme Person. Isn't the way that, if you translate it, it's stupid, But when there's no light, the candle seems very prominent. Read about the ratas. So when Prabhupada's Bhagavatam came out, then more and more people are just like, demanding, maybe other Vaishnavas, but they're demanding Vaishnava translations then. So they, again, it's just, in most cases, it's just stupid. It doesn't take, it just takes, what's the word? They try and, create a big whirlwind of Sanskrit grammar and all this kind of stuff and everything else, but when you bring them down to simple explanations and these things and that, it's just, those who know do not speak. Those who speak do not know. So, the teacher is a self-confessed fool, It's like that. So, also, teacher, you don't know. Ah, you've understood. But you're talking, so you also don't know. And they'll say things like, this cannot be understood, we should meditate, So you can drive them back into the impersonal Brahman or whatever they're doing like that, the full body sense gratification or whatever they're into, calling the Brahman. Okay, let's go on here. Okay. And then I have paragraphs 3 and 5. Krishna always engages in pastimes in Vrindavan. Okay, and that's 2 and 4. It's not 3 and 5. It's 2 and 2 to 4. And I didn't even underline anything because that's what it is. And it's nice because he gives like a little summary. A lot of places in the third canto, Uddhava gives a whole summary of the. It's like a little Krishna book, 2 chapters. Every place. So right here, Krishna gives a little Krishna book. Like, Prabhupada gives a little Krishna book right from the very beginning. Like that. And on paragraph 4, thus, loving activities. Shantaras, like that. So Prabhupada making this point that Krishna is a maintainer of both the material and spiritual worlds.
Maharaj, the second paragraph, last statement.
Second paragraph, last sentence.
The Lord created this pastime to attract the dry speculators and acrobats, a so-called hatha yoga system. But we know that these people, they don't, what these pastimes are mentioned in Puranas, that is Bhagavad Purana. But they don't study, they don't accept that.
They mentioned other Puranas also. Padma Purana, I think, also.
They totally reject the Puranas.
No, again, there's different kinds, of acrobats and dry speculators. And some of them, again, what's Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, they both became attracted to the personal feature like that, So, I actually asked many devotees. They were like hatha yoga guys, they were this and that, and then they came in contact with Prabhupada's books, and then they realized, it was better.
Maharaj, one of the reasons people understand God as impersonal is that because God does many pastimes which are against their moral principles. God should not be like this.
Well, that's not impersonalism. They want a sober God like Jehovah or Allah, or Yamaraj or something, They're opposed to higher rasas, they want God to be an upright guy and always acting correctly and stuff like that. But it's very rare. And if you actually look at it, Jehovah had sex with his daughter-in-law. Your mother Mary is Joseph's son. Joseph is the son of God. And so it's like they say, why are you worshiping a lusty cowherd boy? Well, you're worshiping this guy who had sexual relations with his own daughter-in-law. So it's everywhere we got these problems. Go on here. So then Prabhupada's really emphasizing this point that Krishna is the maintainer of both the spiritual and the material worlds. Number 6, which is paragraph 6, which is actually paragraph 5, then how does he relate to the material world? Paramatma. One may ask how he manages the affairs of creation as a Paramatma. Number 6. But we're talking about what then? I have, which is actually paragraph, Mark is 7, but it's actually 6. But the materialist can only understand his 24 material factors, and the impersonalist, his Brahma Jyoti. We have to penetrate these and realize his Paramatma feature. Yeah? So again, Prabhupada's backing up to the material scientists, the Sankhya philosophers, and they can realize the material elements, and then the above them are the Gyanis who realize the Brahma Jyoti. But then Prabhupada's saying, he said, materialistic Sankhya, yogis, 24 factors, impersonal transcendentalist Brahma Jyoti, we have to penetrate this, right? Penetrate. And what do you discover when we penetrate? The Paramatma. Paramatma. Not yet. It's the Paramatma. Yeah. One has to penetrate beyond the 24 elements and the wearing effulgence as well. See, Upanishad points towards his direction, praying to remove the Aranyamaya, Lord. Unless the covering is removed, one cannot perceive the, okay, the real face. Okay. You're right. Okay. To see. Okay. The Paramatma featured, paragraph 7, the Paramatma feature of the Paramatma, so let's kind of talk about Paramatma. Yeah. The Paramatma, okay, backing up again. Prabhupada's going back and forth, and it's like if you want to analyze this, you know, your German mentality, because my mentality is you first explain A, then B, then C, you know, just linear development, like his programming thing. But Prabhupada's kind of going back and forth, back and forth. So now he's, like you say, he's talking about the real face of the personality of Godhead, you know, factualization. But this is, the Paramatma feature of the personality of Godhead is one of the three plenary expansions, or Vishnu Tattva is known as Purusha avatars. And then Prabhupada explains them, you know. One of these Vishnu Tattvas who is within the universe is known as Shiradakshaya Vishnu. He is the Vishnu among the three principal deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. He is all pervading Paramatma in every individual living entity. This is a kind of subtle point which I only understood from another text and being confirmed here just recently. The second Vishnu Tattva within the universe is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, the collective super soul. So we have two super souls, right? The first super soul, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, is in every individual living entity, and the other one is the super soul, collective super soul of all living entities, like that. And Bhagavan says he's like, it's like this body has a soul, super soul, a soul. The universe also is alive because it has a soul. That soul is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So he's the super soul of all the elements in the universe, I think. Maybe the other way around. One of them is a super soul of material elements. Otherwise, the super soul of all the super, of the souls. Like there's two of them. Yeah. Okay, it'll become clear as we read more and more.
One analogy Prabhupada had heard that just as this body requires some soul, yes, the universe requires.
I just gave that. Yeah. So that my teaching is not very clear. Okay. Yeah. So Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is the soul of this universe. Yeah. Okay, we'll go on here. What else we got? The second Vishnu Tattva, yeah? Personified universe. Virat-rup. Yeah, the Virat-rup is the whole thing, the whole body like that, you know. Not sleeping, pretending. Yeah, what? Yeah, well. Yeah. The second Vishnu Tattva when is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. He is the super soul of all the collective super soul. Beyond these two is Karanadakshaya Vishnu, who lies in the causal ocean. He is the creator of all the universes. The yoga system teaches a serious student to meet the Vishnu Tattvas after going beyond the 24 elements of the cosmic creation. Yeah. Culture of empiric philosophy help ones realize the Brahma Jyoti. In Brahma Jyoti, we go beyond like that. So it says,
Paramatma and Bhagavan.
Huh?
What you were saying.
Yeah, he's going back
again,
and he's...
And then again, Prabhupada said, yeah. The face of the Lord, the Supreme Personality.
Going up to... Because the Paramatma is usually realized as form direction. not realized. Somebody who's Paramatma realized doesn't realize a person. He just realizes intuition, insight, direction, you know, the whatever, the, you know, the psychologist within. And psychologists talk about this when they're talking to their patients. They get in touch with this inner force. Actors have a whole training on how to get in touch with that guidance. many people, different levels of comprehension. Is it a person or is it a source of knowledge? But basically, it's sat chit. You know, it's eternality, and it's not controlled by the time factor, and it's knowledge. But no ananda, like that. You can't have your devotees see Krishna through the Paramatma. Yam shama sundaram chinta guna swarupam, like that. They see it. Oh, this is an expansion of Krishna. Whatever the Paramatma is doing, is this what Krishna is doing? Like that. Yeah. But the other people, they just see like, you know, sat and chit. There's no ananda. Yeah.
Yeah. Inspiration. That there is an inspiration there.
Yeah.
But in Bhagavad Gita 6.11, it is told that Paramatma, he understands there is a Lord in the heart.
Yeah.
So, when he sees the form of the Lord, meditate on the form of the Lord.
Yeah, Prabhupada says form direction from the Super Soul. Yeah. It's like, again, when an example Prabhupada gives is you go in the kitchen. Okay, we're in the kitchen. That's Brahman. Okay. And there's Suji, the Farina. Two pots, fire, butter, sugar, and water, and a spoon. That's chit. But now, someone who understands how to put them together, he has ananda. Yeah? He makes halava. Yeah? Yeah. Example. So, you know, Paramatma, there's, you know, because it's hard. It's actually hard for devotees to realize this, because everything we see Krishna doing things like that. When we get some real reading a purport or really inspired, you think, oh, Krishna is inspiring me. But somebody else sees, no, the all. What's an example of this? How does that call? Oh yeah, okay, gamblers. You know, gamblers talk about lady luck. You know, when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. They have this whole sensibility that, okay, it's time to put all the money on the big chance. Okay, we're going to go for the long chance. I see the guy talking. Okay. Throw the dice, you know. And the guy has this feeling, and he lives that way. He pays his bills. But you talk to them, many times they have a very developed sense of ethics. Like somebody does it, he gambles and he wins, you know, $3,000. Okay, before anything, he goes right out. And $1,000 is for poor people, hungry people, everything else. Otherwise, you know, Lady Luck won't favor me. You know? Yeah. And so they're you can see these guys are Paramatma yogis. They have a developed sense of and how to stay in touch.
Some personalities.
Or so, yeah, they usually give it a name or something, but they don't know if it's really a lady or not, or you know. But, yeah, but it's like a. But yeah, there's a real structure in the world. There's real ethics. There's real morality. There's a certain thing which allows us. And actors, there's so many games you can do to get in touch with this inspiration, intuition, like that. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because Kapiladeva also says there's a form, you can see it, you can meditate on it like that, you know. So again, but usually it's realized in the beginning in an impersonal way in terms of like guidance, direction. But the Kapila talks about the yogi actually seeing the form, you know, that. Hang on 1 second here. Okay, yeah. So yeah. Because actually, you know, what is it? You know, that we're turned away from Krishna, we turn towards the material nature. And then the moon develops some vanity. Okay, she stops looking at the sun and she starts looking for a mirror. Oh, the Earth, it's a full moon day. Oh, just see how I'm illuminating the whole world like that. Oh, I'm so nice, you know. Okay, I want more. Okay, so then she looks at the beautiful deserts of Rajasthan with the white sands and ooh, ripples like that. Oh, it's more. Oh, okay, in Rajasthan, then there's the, somewhere near there, Upi. There's the Taj Mahal. Oh, wow, marble. And there's a beautiful tank there with lotus flowers, and she sees her form, her reflection, the details, and some dog jumps in the pond, and, I'm dying, you know. So we become, you know, more and more reflected. So that's what I would say, is that situated in the heart means the chitta, you know. That the super soul and the individual soul are being reflected in the material energy like that. You know? So we're in the heart in the same way that the sun is in the pot of water. You see the sun there, that reflected. Yeah? Yeah. Now, actually measuring it, of course, it's a whole, you know, thing like that. Again, as far, you know, it's not within material space, you know, the soul and everything else like that. So again, these are maybe analogies, or they have a certain thing like that. Because, you know, with electron microscope, you could see the soul if it was like 1/10,000th of a hair, you know. Of course, you can adjudicate too. Say, well, 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. Is that the top protein molecule? Or the top atom on the top protein molecule? Or the top electron, you know. So we can also escape from these guys. Okay, from my readings, understanding, you know, Kapila Deva is describing a whole process like that of Sankhya, and at some point then the yogi sees the Lord in the heart, and his eyes are like two dancing fish by a lotus, two lotuses, and it's very beautiful like that, you know. But then he says, but you won't feel anything, you know. So what does he say? He says, keep on concentrating, keep on concentrating, keep on concentrating. So it's like a dry sponge. If you put it in water and take it out, completely dry. But if you hold it there, you watch it. At some point, the water penetrates some part, and it starts to spread very quickly like that. So this is, you know, sadhana, vaidhi bhakti. You're just going on, focusing on Krishna, chanting your rounds. And at some point, there'll be like, you know, some bhava. You know? Now you're not like doing raganuga or everything else. You had a real experience of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. You started crying, and it wasn't like, you know, trying to feel compassion when you go out distributing books. Or like, you know, it was actually me really feeling compassion for these people. But then it starts to get covered. So now you're in the level of bhava bhakti yoga. Right? You've got to learn the techniques of, not of, you know, of rules and regulations, but now you've got to learn the techniques of keeping a real fire going. And that's different than, you know, starting a fire. You know? It's a different technique, you know. So sometimes you don't come to Mangalarti because you're in your room in ecstasy, walking back and forth crying, and, you know, okay, we are. So he understands he's got a direct taste of what we're shooting for, so he can directly manipulate that without having to follow rules and regulations. But the rules and regulations are usually the correct thing to do, like that. So what Kapila Deva says is he sees a form, but, you know, maybe what he's seeing is a reflection, you know, of Shirdaksha, of Karanadaksha Vishnu, you know, in the material energy. Yeah. Yeah. So what? Yeah, that's. I guess. I think he saw Satyanarayan. Yeah. Krishnigarbha. I think it's also. Yeah. Also called Satyanarayan. So again, that's why there's so many pages in the Bhagavatam. So, but yeah. But later on, yeah, you can see a form, but you won't. Like Durvasa Muni went right to the doorway of Vaikuntha. He saw Vishnu form, but he couldn't appreciate Lakshmi like that. He couldn't. You could see him with all the form like that, but there was no Ananda. Right? Sad and chit, but no Ananda. So, you know, what's his name? Vidvida. And who's Vidvida's brother? Who's Vidvida? Vidvida? Gorilla. Like that, yeah. Yeah.
The two brothers who jumped in the Krishna book and. Jambavan, yeah.
Mainda, and they were, you know, ministers of Sugriva, generals of Sugriva. But his name is there, but no pastime of his. Jambavan is there. Okay. That's Vidvida. That is brother. Okay. So he and his brother, they were in Ram Lila, and they could appreciate that Ram was, you know, God or Super Soul or something, you know. But as far as I understand, they thought Lakshman was some guy like them who done severe austerities and was very developed like them. So they could appreciate God, but they couldn't appreciate Guru. But later on in Krishna pastimes, he began to appreciate that Guru was just as tough as God, like that, you know, so on. So many levels of comprehension and realization, we haven't got time to discuss them now because we're going to go ahead. No, sorry. Okay. Control your senses. Okay, where are we? Yeah, because we are German. Okay, Paramatma, verse 7. Okay, oh yeah, that, and actually, I missed paragraph 8. And paragraph 8 is, what I have is, Srimad Bhagavatam is the source of the knowledge for the penetration. You know, by perfect knowledge means knowing Krishna as the root of the Brahman effulgence, this knowledge can be gained from such scriptures as Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that. So would it be fair to say that the Isopanishad of Srila Prabhupada is basically an advertisement for Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam? Again and again. Yes, the whole thing is like, if he was, you know, then, okay, so he, yeah. Actually, what they should have in the back, they haven't got it, I don't think. They have a, you can buy a cookbook, Perfection of Yoga. I object to this, you know. Bhagavad Gita as it is. But actually, they should have Srimad Bhagavatam. I was saying again and again, read Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no advertisement for Srimad Bhagavatam in the back, you know. Oh, there it is. Maybe I'll buy it, you know. I mean, many times myself, I would read something, and before I ever was a devotee, and it was mentioned some other book, and I would go and try and find that book, you know. Okay, then yours, but not mine, yeah. More intelligent. Yeah. Okay.
This penetration means through knowledge we transcend this understanding of Brahman and Paramatma.
Yeah, but it's transcendental knowledge. So we have to apply it. Yeah, and we have to have a submissive attitude towards a teacher. Yeah. 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 Huh? His question was: is this knowledge that by knowledge we penetrate? By knowledge you penetrate, but this is transcendental knowledge, so it has to be received by, you know, faith, submission, and service.
He's saying that you said no questions on that question.
Oh, okay, sorry, yeah, all right, sorry. I can't hear you either. Okay, text number 9, paragraph 9. The conclusion is, okay, finally we have to go beyond the Paramatma and realize Sri Krishna. The conclusion is that one who has no knowledge of the potencies will realize Brahman. Okay? When one realizes the material potencies of the Lord, but has little or no information of the spiritual potencies, he attains the Paramatma feature. So then we might look at then the Paramatma we see as being like a demigod. It's the realization of Vishnu as a demigod, like that. He has material potencies. He's the controller of all material potencies. Yeah? Yeah. I could tell a story. We were in the lobby in our temple in Berkeley. And Berkeley is the most crazy city in the United States, maybe on the earth. There's two city laws in Berkeley. One is question authority, and the other is whatever is not expressly forbidden is mandatory. Okay, that's the two laws in Berkeley. You know, this is where the big University of California is, and so many speculators, Nobel laureates. So I was sitting in the lobby one time, about twice this big, and Sunday before the feast started, one brahmachari. This one big black guy came in, kind of aristocratic, and he said, I'm the son of the king of Haiti, like that. And that's possible, you know, in a tradition like that. And he said, and I died. And that seems a little bit unlikely like that, you know. But in Berkeley, you don't challenge people on these kind of things, so we kind of listen to, you know. And he had died, you know. His heart stopped, the doctor came, they tested him, this guy's dead, you know. So they sent him off to the hospital. And big city hospital, so maybe like, in a mortuary, a morgue. It was like, you know, 8 drawers with dead bodies waiting for processing. And one nurse there reading her book, lady's book, like that, yeah. And she heard this noise, like, you know. She reading her book like that, yeah. So she went over, she's like, listening to each drawer. She finally gave me his drawer, you know. So he says that she pulled the drawer out, and he sat up. And she screamed. She said her hair turned white, you know, because it actually happens, prana, you know. And he screamed, ah! And then but she's a nurse, and she knew it happened. Oh, she's okay. He's, because sometimes the heart goes down to like one beat, or you know, every 10, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, 40 seconds, like that. Just, it's enough to keep you alive, but some doctor will mistake it that you're dead. So his heart has stopped like that, and it sped up again. And he said when he was in that state of consciousness, he came in contact with his higher knowledge and like that. And he said after that, he was never afraid. He said, sometimes when I'm in a bar, I get in a really tough situation, but I'm never afraid like that, you know. Because I always know that, you know, he has all-powerful source of knowledge. So the guy, you say, he realized the Paramatma, but he doesn't know, you know, the form or anything else like that. It was just this all-powerful, never defeatable source of knowledge you could always turn to, you know. But he, you know, he realized, you know, I got to be careful, or else I'll lose that experience. You know? Okay, and finally, in Bhagavad Gita, there is a complete comparative studies of jnanis, yogis, and bhaktas. In summary, like that, you know, 646-47. So it'd be nice to look it up. I didn't look it up. It's Bhakti Bhai Baba. You know? Our theory is in Bhakti Bhai Baba, you read the same books and look up all the citations. And that's how you study Bhagavad Gita. For Bhakti Bhai Baba is, you know, the way Prabhupada uses it, right? Memorizing verses, looking them up. It's very nice. Okay. Any questions? Any questions about mantra 15? Yeah.
Is that devotee seeing the reciprocation of Lord? Is a Paramatma realization? Devotee seeing the reciprocation of Lord. Is not seeing the Lord as a person.
There's a reciprocation of desire, of material desires, pretty much. I would say, seeing material potencies. Yeah, and kind of like God, I'm a poor widow. No one's protecting me. This and that. So please help me. And then somebody helps. You say, oh, thank you. So God is, you know, is distant. You know, yeah, you see, you kind of like you see the hand of God, but you don't see His face. Yeah. Reciprocation, the spiritual desires means I want to serve Krishna. So you have to see His personal feature as son, friend, lover, you know, parent, you know, child. You know. So you know, most religions talk about, you know, getting things in this world and thanking God, who is all pervasive, who knows everything, who is all powerful. These are all secondary names of God in terms of the material world, like that. He knows omnipresent, omnipotent. This is all secondary names. Primary names are Yasoda Nandana, Gopijana Balaba. Huh? No, supposedly Swayambhuva Manu. Yeah. But Bhabhacharya says he composed it. Yeah. Okay, let's go on then. Yeah. We don't have time. Text number 16. Oh, we don't. Yes, Jesus. This is, as far as I know, it's not even. Anybody know the meter for this? This is what I think is prose, actually. Pusan ekarshe yamasurya prajapatya viuha rasmin samuha tejo yate rupam kalyanatamam tate pashami yosavasau purusha soham asmi. Yeah. I think it's, yeah, purusha?
Soham.
Soham. Yeah, okay. Why not? Yeah. Asal Purusha Soham Ami. You, I am the Purusha, just like you. Why not? Oh, my Lord. Who is His Lord? Primeval philosopher, maintainer of the universe, regulating principle, destination of the pure devotees, well-wisher of the progenitors of mankind. Please remove the effulgence of your transcendental rays so that I can see your form of bliss. You are the eternal supreme personality of Godhead, like unto the sun, as am I. Yat te rupam. Rupam is there, no? Rupam, yeah. But probably, we could probably find a Mayavadi translation of this, just, you know, which is not all that strange, you know? All that strange. Because that's, it's talking to people who are impersonal, as Mayavadis. And so you can't, you know, get too far away from their place like that. Without sincerity, we're not going to make it. I mean, Krishna, in the end, we have to make pretty much, well, you know, Krishna will get us out of Maya. You know, the Sankirtan movement will get us out of Maya. But it says that somebody who doesn't accept the Sankirtan movement, he cannot be delivered for hundreds and thousands of lifetimes of Brahma, like that. So it could be a long time if you don't take the mercy. Like that, you know. But, you know, Krishna will get us out of Maya. But the best way is if we're sincere. So you can find these things being translated. Some of the translations are just absurd, ridiculous, you know. But sometimes, yeah, you can translate it in an impersonal way, and it's not too far, but really it's not the right translation, you know. And somebody who's sincere will say, yeah, you're right, your translation is better, you know. Yeah.
So,
So I'm saying, you could give these interpretations like that. You know, downstairs in the Mayapur Academy Library, I was looking at the books. There's one little book like this, and it's the Isopanishad commentary of Madhvacharya and several more people like that. So also there are you know, if you're going to find a problem, it's not just inventing something. Many Vaishnava Acharyas comment on this and stuff. That, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, again. Yeah. It's again, it's for a certain kind of people. But the word rupam is there, you know, which you know the Mayavadis don't like that. Tejo yat tarupam. Okay.
It also comes after the previous verse where
this
has been established.
Mukam. So, but probably some other meaning for mukam like that. I think it's like, you know.
Mukam.
Yeah, doesn't talk. He doesn't talk, right? Yeah.
The devotee is asking to Lord to reveal his face. Normally, a pure devotee never wishes the Lord to show himself to him.
Yeah.
Never asks for such a wish.
Yeah.
I mean, he just wants to serve the Lord.
So these aren't pure devotees. He's also asking, save me the time of death, remember my sacrifices to you.
All I did for you.
All I did for you, yes. Well, at different levels of pure devotees, but you know. Yeah. So this is, again, it's like somebody who's coming to this level of, you know. One person said, "Oh, Prabhupada, I don't want to leave this world. I just want to, you know, I want to serve you life after life." And Prabhupada said, "That's okay for Lord Chaitanya, is you know, to stay in this world life after life. But you and I should want to get out of this place. Yeah, we should take impetus. You know, yeah. So, yeah, because we're, you know, I mean, if we want to stay life after life, then we're thinking about, you know, oh, sense gratification, life after life. You know, you know, I want higher something, you know, higher planets. But Prabhupada goes through that again and again. He's talking about all these different planets, right? Again and again, he's talking about these places, and you begin to realize that, you know, I know different people, they've had different celestial desires, you know. And, you know, even high material desires, winning like gold medals. So one guy has won a gold medal in Olympics. And he said as he was approaching his goal, he began to realize that it wasn't going to satisfy him. And, yeah. He'd been putting all these different things on the shelf, waiting to get this, and that's when he started to get very depressed, you know. And that's when he got one of Prabhupada's books. And he was talking all about this and stuff to me, you know, confidentially and everything else like that, you know. He's an interesting person. He won a gold medal. He's homosexual. But he was keeping his homosexual desires under control until after he won the gold medal. That was his idea. Then he would find the perfect male lover, and they'd be happy together, and you know, like that. It'd be like Alexander the Great and his male boyfriend, and you know. So he talked to me confidentially about it, you know. And they said, but he realized it wasn't going to satisfy him, you know. And so then he got Prabhupada's book, and he found something else. Because you know. Okay. So here, describing these heavenly places. Let's go on here. Okay. What do I add here? Basically, I think I rejected my whole commentary. this is the one that's good. Actually, this is the one that was okay. I underlined nothing. I have nothing whatsoever underlined in this entire text because my afterwards were so good. Ha 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 ha. I just changed. Huh? Also? Yeah, but Prabhupada says you can only chant in ecstasy like that after many lifetimes of practice. You know, Prahlad was absorbed in chanting, so it didn't bother him. You know, being boiled in oil didn't bother him. But Prabhupada says you can only chant like that absorbed in ecstasy. He said, artificially for some time you may be able to chant like that, but he was absorbed, you know. Yeah. Huh? Yeah? His body was, you know, composed of Satchitananda, basically, you know. Yeah. Okay. Paragraph 1, Prabhupada talks about the example of the sun god, the sun planet, the sunshine, because you like the sun. Paragraph 2, Brahma Samhita also describes a Brahma Jyoti, sunshine, but this mantra asks to remove that Brahma Jyoti so we can see the blissful smile of Krishna. Paragraph 3, auspicious, more auspicious, and most auspicious, which means he is Pusan. Yeah. He maintains us. Paragraph 4, nice citation from Jiva Goswami Prabhupada explaining this Goloka Vrindavan. He's talking about Goloka Vrindavan. We're talking about Brahman, Paramatma, and now Bhagavan. And then, Bhagavan means he maintains it. He's a person. He reciprocates.
And I think how you mentioned, Maharaj, this book is meant for, very intellectual fools.
Yeah.
So this citation will really please them.
Which one?
Bhagavan.
Oh, yeah.
Will really satisfy. Yeah, we are reading right.
From a great Sanskritist.
This is right for us. This is us. Yeah. We can see ourselves in the reading.
Okay. Great Sanskritist. Now, paragraph 5, I completely crossed it off and changed it all together. Because reading it again for the next time, I get a totally different realization of paragraph 5. And that is that paragraph 5, Prabhupada is just going through the different words that Jiva Goswami uses. Ba means maintainer or whatever like that, and leader. So in paragraph 4, so paragraph 5, Prabhupada just talks about them one after another. How Krishna is this? Let's look at paragraph. I don't even remember it, I don't think. In paragraph 4 it says, what does Ba mean? Ba means maintainer and guardian. So guardian is like Pushan, no? Pushan. And Ga means
guide,
leader, which is more like main Pushan also. And syllable Van indicates every living being is in him and he lives in every living being. Yeah. Yeah. So now he's going through this like one after another like that. Talking about them. And again, it's just a random citation. Or Prabhupada just decided to do this for some reason, without no reason. You start investigating, you'll discover that there's a very specific reason, why he chose that particular, citation from Jiva Goswami, like that. The more I read Prabhupada's books and research his citations, it's like, Prabhupada's intelligence is vast, It's just like, so much detail, like that. If somebody asks you about Mayapur, you start describing where things are, what happens, everything else, because you live here, So Prabhupada lives in this philosophy. It's this whole world, So he says something, it's not just like random, it's just connected to everything else like that. So anyway, you can pick one book and penetrate it and find Srila Prabhupada, like that. Yeah. Prahlad. I don't know. Yeah. You have to read Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Because in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's going to these different devotees and talking about their different situations, their faults. So, later on, when we come to Bhakti Vedanta, we'll answer your question. Okay. Bhakti Shastri. Okay. Paragraph 6. The jivas, his differential expansions, desire to be lords, he allows them, but ultimately he is Paramatma, the controller. So I added down here that it's a continuation of paragraph 5, because in paragraph 5 it's talking about he creates the material world, but in paragraph 6 it says why he creates it, for the jivas, right? So they can have a good time. I actually was seeing this from the point of view of Krishna. It's all okay, because it's Krishna. We're Krishna, right? We can't complain about how Krishna is torturing the jivas, right? Well, that point came up. Why didn't God make us all happy, right? Why is he torturing the jivas? Well, he's torturing himself. All we are is like Krishna's hands and fingers. So whatever distress that is being experienced by us, Krishna is experiencing that. And it's in some way like that. So looking at it from that perspective, it can't be torture. There has to be a perspective in which it's just, Krishna gives the option, creates a thing, and then we can do it. So from that point of view, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just like people like to eat bitter things, right? Okay, you like to suffer, right? Yeah. So we're suffering in the material world so we can enjoy it. Yeah.
When there is the rasa for gastfulness.
You go through austerities to become a doctor, right? So much austerity to become a doctor, but then you can enjoy big salary and all this prestige and everything else. You don't feel guilty at all. People criticize you, say, "Yeah, but I went through years of austerity to do this," and it's such right? So volunteer austerity to enjoy. Okay. Number eight. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is cataracts, my favorite thesis, that we came from the I was almost saying we came from the Brahmajyoti here. The all-pervading feature of the Lord, which exists in all circumstances of waking and sleeping, this last paragraph, as well as in potential states, and from which the Jiva Shakti is generated as both conditioned and liberated souls, is known as Brahman. So that means all the Jivas come from Brahman? It's a question. I don't know. It says here that, you know. Yeah. But, you know, okay. Since the Lord is the origin of both Paramatma and Brahman, He is the origin of all living entities and all else that exists. Yeah. One who knows this engages himself at once in devotional service of the Lord. Such a pure and fully cognizant devotee of the Lord is fully attached to Him, heart and soul. And whenever such devotees assemble with similar devotees, they have no engagement but glorification of the Lord's transcendental activities. So this is Bhagavad Gita 10.11, right? Yeah, Prabhupada's paraphrasing Bhagavad Gita 10.11.
Before that, on page 120, there is, the external potency is not exactly manifested by Him.
Yeah.
For He expands Himself as the Purushas.
Yeah.
And it is these forms that He maintains the features of the material manifestation.
Maintains them.
Yep.
But where do they come from? Gotcha, that one.
Says the internal potency is not exactly manifested by Him.
Yeah.
And then here it gives the answer to the question.
Yeah.
But that's where the
But it could be also be manifested from His Brahman also. You know. And this is the God. These arguments, logical arguments. God, wow. It can go on forever. It's like every Sankirtan devotee in America knows you never argue with a Christian. Oh, you go on forever and ever and ever arguing like that. But also too, you know, also too, different Hindus and, you know, so argument is only good where people are sincere and they're trying to understand the truth like that. Otherwise, you can argue forever to avoid understanding what the truth is. It says that many people are looking for God, but most people hope they don't find Him. Yeah, because if you do, then you got to surrender. But it's such gratification to talk about Him and speculation like that. You know, these are the guys, the curious, you know. Yeah. Okay. Any,
what is the meaning of this line?
I don't know. In my notes, I say, interesting statement. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Maybe the British put it in or something like that. You know. Yeah. Or maybe it's back. You know, we all come to. You can think, the thing is also there's no time at that level. So the word generated, you know, is also doesn't mean it's weird in terms of, like, understanding these things like that. You know, the Jiva Shakti. Jiva Shakti, well, of course, we always say Panchatattva. You know, the Jiva Shakti is coming directly from Lord Chaitanya, from Krishna, according to our thing. But, you know, maintaining it. Yeah. Yeah, because that's one. There's one statement by Njiva Dharma or something by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that the origin of the Jiva Gaya says that the Jiva in the material world comes from the boundary condition next to the material world. But then you can ask, well, how did it get there? You know, like that. Because you're in Goloka, okay, you fall down to Ayodhya. And a little bit less surrender there. And you fall down to Vaikuntha, a little bit less surrender there. You fall down to Mahavishnu Loka, okay, you go back up to Ayodhya. You know, so it's like there's flexibility to move. And Prabhupada also says one time that some of the guys, the yogis and the Brahman effulgence, when the Sankirtan parties come from the spiritual world to the material world, they hear this and then they're attracted and they promote it from the Brahma Jyoti to the to the spiritual world. So you can also go from the Brahma Jyoti to the spiritual world.
I think that's in the Brihad Bhagavatam.
Could be, yes sir.
The second part of the
second part, okay.
No.
Yeah. No. But I would say again that if when you're falling from Goloka, you don't just go, you know, you're in Goloka, next second you're in Calcutta, you know. You know, that it's gradual process. And ultimately you enter the material world from, you know, the condition next door, like that. You know. Again, probably there's different pathways, you know, somebody, like for example, it's described that one time Radharani cursed Viraja, and then cursed her brother Sridhama, and they cursed her, and so they all became Jalandhar and Tulsi, and but that's a whole different kind of, like, you know, entering into the material world type thing. Yeah. So maybe we can have a few words from our sponsor here. The end.
Okay. Can we take a break? We just lost our battery. Okay. I will.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
This is Mahavishnu.
We don't have to talk, for example, like the fact that this is identified as something that's different from this. The fact is that it's sort of like, this is what I'm saying, and things are differentiated. That's a certain feature that you take for the agonists. No, they are not identified. In the posture, they take advantage of this. So identifying things is separate things and often results. So the ability to identify unities is part of the Paramatma's feature. We have big heavy philosophers that have been into this. What the heavy philosophers said, what is number? Man may know it. And what is man? Man may know number. Like this whole thing about he's counting. The fact that you can count things, right? It's a whole philosophical approach to reality.
So this chapter is the specific energetic incarnations. The next chapter is karma. He says, show me that form. And he shows him, that Rupa is the Paramatma. His hands are everywhere, this and that. So chapter 10 is the scientists are the philosophers. Chill science. They develop powers. They can fly. This is what science tries to do. Hello. As much as you can know him. Again, there's no Ananda in the Dharma. This guy told me that this is some source, some higher source, maybe luck. It's not like. It's like, for example, you can meet the Prime Minister of India. He comes here visiting, and he's also he's in charge of his program. I met the Prime Minister of India today. What's his wife like? He's a person, he has two arms, he doesn't have four arms. He was a kind of a kind guy like that.
All the mantras which show a particular way of purification, or by way, meaning one way is like one mantra is one way, that's so
clear.
Yeah, I understood that. What when you say a way, suppose I want to show one way. One mantra can be considered as one way, or what exactly is the meaning?
No, you can use basically a citation.
So suppose I use only one mantra and I come and explain it, it will become like one way, or does it mean that covering all the similar mantras is one way? It's not like that.
I understood.
What I was not mean, because there are few mantras which can give you self purification. So I could select three mantras, or I could select two, or I could select one also. So that's why it was not.
Om Pranam, first four, four mantras. First four mantras are.
So suppose I want to be one way. Do I include all the four or only one mantra? That's
up to you.
So that's why the meaning of way is not clear. Is it one mantra in one way, or several mantras could be one way?
It can also not be mantras, it can also be citations.
Even if I want to do one way, I could still take four mantras and do one way.
You could also cite mantras which you can have
700 is possible. You could spend about 5 minutes one example in the end of the class. This is not there.
We can talk about the waves.
It says waves, that's why I didn't continue.
Yes, another way that I can use it for self-purification is that I can keep it on my bookshelf and never I look at it every day. I don't cite anything, right? And I can distribute it. That's also the way you use it for self-purification. Well, it's fed there,
So even if I use one mantra for one way, it's okay.
No, no,
no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
University of California, Irvine, not California. He's probably gone by now. He's like, you know, dead or retired. I was reading one of his science books, and one of his characters meets a yogi, an old man in Los Angeles, as part of the story. And you could tell it was powerful. That was his experience with Prabhupada. It was very interesting reading, because basically he said what he got out of that experience was it was very nice, very kind, and very cool. That's why he really became convinced about that.
मंडे है
सब लोग के लिए एक ही बार
है ऐसा नहीं
है कहीं शो का
लास्ट
डेट
चाहिए तीन है
तीन तारीख आज क्या है
उनतीस नहीं उनतीस बंगाली क्या आप हिंदी बात कर रहे हैं या फिर बंगाली
बहुत अच्छा अरे हमारा सब मिक्स
सीख रहे हैं शिक्षित
ऐसा नहीं बंगाली हिंदी मिक्स नहीं करना होगा
हरिबोल जब स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड से दिल्ली हरिबोल स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड से नीचे आता है ना पदयात्रा आता है तो ब्रह्म नेपाल जेंट्स को डिलीवर कर देता है
10:30 स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड से आता है
स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड से पदयात्रा जब आता है तो ब्राह्मण को डिलीवर कर देता है आते आते
मेरे साथ में नहीं आना मेरे पीछे वाले साथ आ जाओ मेरे को मेरे को देखा तो फिर सब लोगों को मेरे को पूछे खबर क्या
स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड का एक पार्ट है हरे कृष्णा
अभी आ भी रही चिंता में खतरा लगा रहा खतरा दिन बोल रहे कुछ नहीं बोली गई सलाह तो बीस मिनट में बदल गया
पूरा नहीं हुआ लोग कुछ चालू कर
हेडफोन लगाया
But we can break it up into two sessions.
So that everybody can
pagal hai ye ladka.
Krishna, 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 hey.
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Rakshama.
Krishna, 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 Rakshama.
Krishna, 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 Pahima.
Krishna, 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 Pahima.
Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama.
Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama.
Keshava Krishna, Keshava Krishna, Keshava Pahima.
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Goranga.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Krishna Bhagavan Gita. By your anilam amritam. Ate dam bashvantam shariram Om kratoshmaram kritam shmara kratoshmaram kritam shmara. Let this temporary body be burnt to ashes, and let the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Now, O my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices, and because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. Wow. And this is, I say 16
purports, but I counted them this time and got 15 paragraphs, 15 paragraphs. Yeah. And I basically almost rejected all of my afterwards here as being useless. But it seems to be like a progression that Prabhupada's going back and forth again and again. And the very, very first thing, he's talking about the temporary material body. Yeah? Let this temporary body be burnt to ashes. And Prabhupada says, the temporary material body is certainly a foreign dress. Like that. He talks about that. Yeah? That the body is a dress. Then in paragraph 2, he talks about material nature creates some amazing varieties of bodies. So he's still going on with this thing about the material body. You know? He creates a body so we can eat stool and like it. Yeah? Or kill people and eat them and like it. Like that. Yeah? Yeah. And so he gets a little bit of variety of the bodies, and in paragraph 3 he says, but in any case, whether you're a pig or a tiger or the Prime Minister of India, the material bodies are all foreign. Yeah. They change according to our desires for sense gratification. Right? He's still talking about the material body. Yeah. And the highest developed form is the human form. Yeah. Human form. And what kind of human form? Yeah, possessed a full sense of spiritual knowledge. Yeah. Yeah. Now one should, okay, yeah. One, when the highest development of one's spiritual senses is described as mantra. Okay. One should give up the material body, which will be turned into ashes, and let the air of life merge back into the reservoir. Okay. Then Prabhupada starts talking about the airs. He's been talking about the body here before, now he's talking about the airs. And the yogis, they study how to control these airs. Because, you know, because what is air here? What does air mean?
The life air, not the beginning.
Yeah, okay. Prana is anything you can feel. Hard or soft, heat or cold. Like, you know, for example, my clipboard here is composed of air, prana, right? You can feel it. The symptoms of prana are hard and soft, heat and cold. And so you may think, well, there's no prana here, not moving. But if you set fire to this, probably it'll burn like that, and, you know, produce a whole heat will come out like that. So in a candle, the prana is moving. You can feel the prana moving. Close your eyes. You can feel hard and soft, heat and cold. This is Kapila Dev's analysis. And you can feel it. Or a river, you can feel it. You know? So in this body, it's circulating in, what, seven major centers? Like that. And, you know, I have this reaction. Whenever I get punctured, I pass out. So, not exactly, but usually. So whenever I get, like, my blood taken or something like that, I always have this, like, you know, nauseating reaction. So last time it happened, I had to get a yellow fever vaccination in Peru to go to Bolivia. So I went there. I made a mistake of kind of fasting a couple of days before that, just for, you know, austerities, yoga. So I went there, and this nurse, you know, gave me this injection. I was really watching it, listening, very conscious, chanting. And when it wasn't painful exactly. It was, you know, I could feel the body being punctured. That was kind of like had some influence. But then I could just feel all the prana just leaving the solar plexus, just evaporating. And I almost passed out. Like, it was just, at that time, you know, he said, I was going to put my head down and breathe a few times, you know, it's okay. And she flipped out because she was this poor nurse in this room, and this foreigner was going to die in her office, like that. So she tossed me into a wheelchair and ran me down to the, you know, the emergency room, and they were going to, all this stuff like that, you know. But I could see, you know, just that the prana was, I was watching specifically, it was in the solar plexus. It was just going. And then you die like that. So that's, you know, you can feel it. Forget about seeing it. That's third class. That's the material scientists. They want to see everything. The second class scientists want to feel everything. And that's where you get your karate stuff, you know, everything else. They train you in feeling prana. So everywhere there's prana. But we call this prana mine. This is my prana. Yeah. So if somebody's like setting fire to my clipboard, yeah, okay, but it's just setting fire to my hand. And I said, it's my prana. Wait a second. Oh, yeah, burning my hand. You know? So we identify the false ego, this body of tactile energy, like that, and how it flows and doesn't flow. So time of death, we just let it go. It all, you know, go back again and become part of the general prana moving around the universe. Okay? All right. Well. Yeah, it says when Kapila's analyzing, he says that air, prana, is hard and soft, heat and cold. That's how you experience it. You know, so here is, you know, soft, hard, soft, hard, soft, 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 hard.
Okay. This is everything has prana.
Well, no, sound doesn't have prana. Mm. Yeah, because a portion of the sound becomes prana. Right? Yeah. There's no prana in space. Okay, now we're getting this whole thing of Sankhya. Spunk is space, is just intellectual. Right? It is space. Geometry. Geometry describes space. You know, Euclidean, the squares, lines, like that, boxes. It's very intellectual. Yeah. But it's produced by sound. Oh my God. Yeah. So you start to get into these things and meditate on it, you begin to see like how that, yeah, how it works like that, you know. I mean, for example, like one time I was in the altar addressing Lord Jagannath, and he's meditating for like two hours, very intense. He had no timing. So your sense of visual space becomes very acute. Everything just the right place, hanging, it doesn't work. So you come off, and then Tatikshiva Karunika, he's a pretty famous, you know, singer in ISKCON, in different albums. And he was leading the kirtan, you know. And I could see like where all the sounds were, like in space, you know. And it was like a space was kind of missing, so I started playing the kartals in such a way it would like fit in there, you know. And he said, wow, far out, you know. Because, yeah, it would just fit in there very well. And the musician was appreciating it like that, yeah. So, different kinds of space for accommodating things. I was going to get carried away here, okay. Yeah. Mantra 17, where are we? Okay, so it all merges back in. Paragraph number 3. Yeah, so the body becomes ashes and then the air merges back in. The yogis study how to control the life airs. They're trying to, you know, go here and there, this way and that way, and transfer to higher planets on the air. But the highest perfection of such changes occur, yeah, when one can enter the spiritual atmosphere. So Prabhupada's going on with this thing about the body, but you know, the whole thing of yoga is really to go to the spiritual atmosphere. Then number 4, he goes back, contrast here, yeah, yeah.
In the last line of this paragraph, it said,
okay.
Enter into the spiritual atmosphere where he can develop a completely different type of body, a spiritual body. But before this, Prabhupada says that the spiritual body is always there and the material body, different elements accommodate accordingly.
Yeah.
So there are different bodies.
Yeah.
So now this statement seems to contradict that.
It does, but you can also take it as meaning you have the body, but you can go on developing it more and more and more. You can improve your service more and more. Your abilities. And you can develop your service more and more. You have a body, you have a spirit service, you have a home, you have family, but you can go on developing. Here we want to develop my body, I want to become stronger, I want to lift weights, I want to learn this, I want to do that. But there you can develop your spiritual body. Okay?
Shrunken,
yeah. Compressed. Yeah, but of course there's no space in that level. Yeah. Space is the first gross material element. Yeah, so it's developing ontological space. Yeah, it's really a lot of these things are analogies. Okay, in the material world, because of material desires and Prabhupada's, is it saying we develop various species of life. So again, he's going back now into all these different kinds of bodies. Yeah. And then, different bodies, the human body is highly developed. So again, this is almost a repeat, almost identical repeat of the same thing, coming to the human body, and then Prabhupada quotes 7:19. So what is 7:19? Yanavan prapajante asudeva savamati samaha masurva. So again, I was asking one time people like, okay, how many Bhagavad Gita verses do you have to know so that there's like about an 80% chance you'll know the next verse Prabhupada cites. It must seem probably about maybe 120. You know, about maximum, you know, maybe less than that, really. Maybe like 100, you know. But all the verses that Prabhupada cites, 80% of all the Bhagavad Gita verses Prabhupada cites about 100 verses like that. Yes, sometimes but very esoteric verse, but not very normally. So really, Prabhupada's, you know, the Charyas, the quantity of verses and stuff, it's not that big, really. If you learn these and stuff, and you have a sufficient weapon to fight Maya. Okay? According to Bhagavad Gita, he surrenders. You know? Vasudeva. Then Prabhupada says, otherwise, otherwise, he must fall down, even if he comes to the Brahma Jyoti. So again, contrast. He must fall down, even if he comes to Brahma Jyoti. But he also says that you can go to Goloka, you know, right? If you hear the Sankirtan man coming through the Brahma Jyoti. So you can also do Sankirtan, the Brahma Jyoti, if you want to do that. Everybody has their particular nature, right? Om.
There's a general understanding that from higher than the Brahma Jyoti, from other Vaikuntha planets.
Yeah.
This is a general understanding what I understand. That you cannot, once you're
liberated,
you can't go further ahead.
Yeah.
You are completely satisfied in that particular elevation.
Gopa Kumar went to Vaikuntha and he was satisfied, but then he went to Goloka. There you go. You can go ahead if you're Gopa Kumar.
That again, you to come back here.
Yeah, something like that. But he made it. Yeah.
Then based on the chanting,
it's like Jesus.
From there itself.
Jesus was a Jew, but he became a Christian. Story two. Okay. Number three. Paragraph number three here. Yeah. Where am I? Lost my place. Okay, there it is. Yeah. Number five. Okay. So in the previous mantra, we're talking about the Brahma Jyoti is full of spiritual sparks. It's a very nice summary here. Sometimes these entities want to enjoy their senses. Yeah. And then Krishna creates this whole place for them. Yeah. Becoming one with the Brahma Jyoti does not represent mature knowledge. Right? So we become in the material world. Prabhupada is going over again and again, again and again and again. We come in the material world. We want to enjoy our senses. And somehow or other, we realize that we don't belong in this world. So we go back to the Brahma Jyoti. But that's not enough. Only if you surrender. So it's a lot of this repetition again and again. Mantra, sixth paragraph. In this mantra, living in the praise to enter the spiritual kingdom. Yeah. He prays to the Lord to remember his activities. Right? Yeah. He makes the prayer at the time of death with full consciousness of his past misdeeds. Like that. Yeah. And so, Prabhupada's saying, usually if you're a materialist, what happens? You're remembering all of your past misdeeds and meditating upon them. And so you then, yam yam bhapi smaram bhavan. Yeah. Thus the mind carries the living entities' propensities into the next life. 7. Unlike the simple animals who have no developed mind, the dying human can remember the activities of his life, like dreams at night. Therefore, his mind remains surcharged with material desires, and consequently, he cannot enter into the spiritual kingdom with a spiritual body. The devotee, however, develops a sense of love of God by practicing. Yeah? Even if at the time of death he does not remember his service to the Lord does not forget him. Okay. This prayer is asking the Lord to remember, but the Lord doesn't have to be asked. So now it's really talking about Pushan, the relationship. So in paragraph 8, and then probably start talking about this. You know, through several verses, really talks about it, how he's related as a friend to the living entities who accept him. And then in paragraph 9, then probably gives Bhaktivinoda Thakur's an explanation, commentary on this. So Prabhupada's trying to give these people a real feeling for how, you know, Krishna's a person. He reciprocates. It's more than this word Pushan and stuff. It's very important. Paragraph 10. The facilities of devotional service. What facilities? That Krishna remembers us, even if we don't remember him. Pushan. A very important verse here. Word. Yeah. The impersonalists don't get this. Yeah. Yeah. So much useless labor. Paragraph 11. All the facilities suggested in this mantra can be easily obtained by contact with the personal feature of the Absolute Truth. And then Prabhupada then goes through the, you know, describing these and the nine processes like that. This is how you contact him. So many times, this is kind of like almost like a definition of what is devotional service, these nine processes. As far as I understand, the Gaudiya Math temples of Bhaktisiddhanta, they have nine spires on top, four, four, and one. And those represent the nine processes. Like that. Yeah. These nine principles help a devotee remain in touch with God. Yeah. By adopting the following devotees achieve perfection. And there's examples then of these devotees who are staying in touch with God. Purushan. 12. Actually, the explanation of this mantra is in Srimad Bhagavatam, which you can purchase at the end of this book. Yeah. So it's a lot of repetition. Yeah. Yeah, maybe we should learn this. Yeah. Same formula for preaching. Like that. Yeah. And, okay. Maharaj Pariksit Bhagavatam 215. Then paragraph 14. Yeah. Prabhupada says, so-called human society is absorbed in sleeping, having sex, earning money, with little time to talk about the personality of Godhead, declaring Him impersonal. But, yeah, it declared that He is sentient and supreme in all these literatures. Yeah. Therefore, one should not indulge in hearing and speaking rubbish activity, and engage in godly activities, you know. So here he's talking about sacrifice. Because we all want to engage in hearing about rubbish activity, which gratifies our impression of who we are, our friends, our community, excites us. So the greatest sacrifice then is, to hear about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. Prabhupada says there's a phrase in Bengal that if you can't sleep, read Srimad Bhagavatam. Fall asleep. Yeah, because it's a sacrifice to read it. And in the beginning, Shatnama Krishna Charita De Sittapiya Vidya Patopatapta Rasanasa Naro Chikanu. We don't like it. It's bitter. Yeah, but we go on taking it the way that Acharya prescribes, and after a while we wake up and we like it. When you come to prayers by the personified Vedas, most devotees go, oh my God, wow. But you look at the commentaries of the Acharyas, they go, oh wow, 25 pages of dry philosophy, ooh, wow. And as you go on, you already start to get a taste for this. It's just so lucid, so clear. I was doing Nirjala Ekadasi for 1 year, and many times your mind just gives up on thinking about sense gratification because you're not going to do it, And it starts developing all these strange, like intellectual, questions and comments like that, So the mind, also can relish these concepts, this jnana, like that. And it's much easier to perceive Krishna from that level, like that. I mean, somebody may say, well, I love Krishna, but, they love prasadam, eating, They also will love it's something else just as much if it gratifies their senses like that, But intellectual level, it's more hard to do that. It's more likely to become a devotee, and so on. Well, but you can also become a big demon, too. Okay. So, any questions? Yeah, Prabhupada's talking about all the points in the mantra. He talks about them. How we're going to merge back in. We're going to go higher than this whole universe. Right? And again, many people get caught up in different levels like that, but here the devotee is praying to Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates. One girl, she was a Sankirtan devotee in Los Angeles, and they were, had like a nice big breakfast of challah and everything, and they were going out to the airport to distribute books. Maybe six devotees in the car, it was cold, so the heater was on, everybody was falling asleep. The driver also fell asleep. She went right off the freeway, and the car started bouncing, and then They woke up and they were going right into the cement bridge like that. So he hit the brakes, everybody's screaming, and smashed into the cement, you know, side of the bridge. And she said she was just knocked unconscious and her mind was panicking. And then she heard, she saw these letters appearing with different colors. K-R-S-U-N-A. And it was attracting her mind like that. You know, and then she remembered Krishna like that. So she forgot Krishna. And if she left her body, she would have gone to some who knows where, you know. But then Krishna remembered her. And he didn't cheat. He didn't, like, take away her free will. But he, like, you know, said, do you want me? This is who I am. And she said, oh, yeah. Like that. So a perfect example of somebody forgetting Krishna at the time of death. She didn't die. You know? And she recovered. You know? Yeah.
There was another devotee, Maharaj, who drowned.
Oh, yeah?
He went to take a dip, but he did not know how to swim. Oh, my
God.
His foot slipped.
Yeah.
And he drowned and he died.
Yeah.
But Maharaj said that he went back to Godhead.
Yeah.
Because Krishna remembered him. It was an Ekadasi day.
Oh.
And,
oh.
You know, there were reasons.
Yeah.
He would never go alone.
Yeah.
Because it was Ekadasi, so he went.
Yeah.
And his foot slipped and he died on that particular day.
Wow.
So Maharaj said that, you know. Because we were saying that when he's in such a terrible state, when he does not know how to drown, and water is filling his lungs and he wants air, how would somebody remember Krishna in that state? Because physically it's such a challenge.
Yeah.
Maharaj said, no, at that time Krishna remembers.
One devotee, you know him, what's his name? Giranagari? He's a real big, robust guy, like... Okay, 80 kilos.
More than that.
Okay, he was in the first Brajmando Parikrama. It was really tough, difficult. So one morning he got up, he was going out into the field to do his business. And a bunch of Brajbasis started just screaming at him. He thought they were saying, you know, don't evacuate in our field. So he said, forget it. You know, and he walked, he fell right into a well. And he felt something like about, you know, maybe like, I was like about 8 kilometers, 8 kilometers, eight meters. It was a good fall, maybe like about three times this distance like that. But there was a platform, and there was like another 25 meters. He would have died if he missed the platform. But on the platform was this big steel pump sticking up. He also missed that, fortunately, you know. So he hit, but it was, you know, a big guy. And he hit, and he broke about 14 bones. And so these guys got to pull him out of the well with 14 bones. It took about an hour and a half to get him out of the well like that, you know. And he said when he hit, he was falling. Boom, like that. He couldn't breathe, you know. And so he said at that point, his mind started panicking, thinking about his bank balance, his wife. You know, it all was meaningless, you know. His mind was panicking. Then he said his intelligence said to his mind, he said, why are you panicking? We've been through this hundreds of times. And at that point, he could see it was a fact. He was just, you know, his mind had no other thing to hold on to, you know. And so, yeah, so you, but that's, you know, what, so we may not change our bodies so much. Actually, I even heard that when he's now GBC secretary, guru, and sannyasi, when he was a brahmachari, he said, oh, Prabhupada, I can't stop thinking about illicit sex, you know. And Prabhupada said, yes, because of the birth you've taken, you won't be able to. He said, but if you engage in devotional service, you'll be able to tolerate it. So maybe right at the very end, we're going to have different, you know, reactions, bodily things, our mind's going to be a certain way, you know. Okay, well, who cares? Because my heart is changing. So that's the real thing. So the tree may look like this and that. It may be a nasty tree, but when the root's finished, then when the water comes, it just washes it away. Whereas you cut the top off of the weeds, it doesn't matter. They keep growing back. So bhakti yoga, our whole point is really to destroy at the root our attachment. And then maybe we have some kind of problem, this and that, and so forth, so on, whatever. But who cares? I'll just tolerate it, you know, like that. If somebody tells you there's going to be a nuclear bomb attacking Calcutta in half an hour, and you run to your car and you say, but wait a second, I have to wash it first. You know, it's like, who cares? Let me just, it doesn't matter if it's washed or not, let me get in my car and get out of the city, you know, like that. So we may have different bad qualities, and anger, you know, lustiness, but okay, it's within bounds, and I can follow the four principles, okay, let me work on my heart. Yeah. So, taking this to heart and appreciating how it's, maybe, you know, different people have different problems with these things, you know, like that, and how it's useful for preaching. Okay, the final mantra, here we go, the class is finished. Okay.
Agne naya supata uraye asmin vishpani deva vayunani vidvan yojasma juhuranamenu buyistam te nama uktim videma. O my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one. Yeah. Now I offer my all obeisances to you, falling in the ground at your feet. O my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all that I have done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins, so that there may be no hindrance to my progress. Okay, now let's imagine that Sridham is saying this. O my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one. No, it doesn't work like that.
This is some Mishra, something is there.
Yeah, this is Yeah, Gyana Mishra, Shantaras, yeah. He knows Krishna's occurrences. Okay, I think it might, I didn't have any notes on this one almost, you know. But this is, okay. Actually the first sentence, the whole thing is, many times the first sentence probably really, you know, kind of says everything in the first sentence, yeah. By surrendering to the Lord and praying for His causeless mercy, the devotee can progress on the path of complete self-realization. Okay, so there's our japa. Surrender to Krishna and pray for His mercy. Yeah? You can progress in the path. Okay. The order's address is fire. It can burn anything up. As described in the previous mantra, the will, it features the absolute. Probably mentioning several things. He's like fire. He can burn up reactions. The real feature is the is his personal feature. Then probably discusses Brahma Jyoti, Karma Kanda, and Vikarma. Right? Says here, as soon as such activities are even slightly deviated from the regular principles of the Vedas, they are transformed into Vikarma. The story of Maharaj Nriga. Right? Yeah. These are all hindrances. So simple activities, right? These are all hindrances for self-realization. And in paragraph 2, Prabhupada talks again about different species. The human form of life, qualified with Brahminical culture, is the only chance to obtain mercy. So what is a Brahmana? He's born in a Brahmin family? No. He says he has to have his actual qualifications. Birthright is not enough. Yeah. And of course, you know, we kind of know this. It's easy for us, but in India at that time, it was very strong, you know, caste Brahmin consciousness. It says if he becomes proud of his birth as a son of a Brahmin, he falls down. Yeah. And then paragraph 3 continues with this idea. Okay, souls fallen down from the path of self-realization are given a chance. If they misuse this, they lose a good opportunity. Like that. So you don't know. Again, all of us may have taken birth in very auspicious circumstances, you know, to realize this knowledge, but that may be because in our previous lifetime we weren't successful. So if we don't take advantage of it in the new lifetime, then we're not going to be given the chance again. We're going to be put back into the school of hard knocks in English language, American English, the school of hard knocks. Yeah, Chris is going to start teaching us with the paddle on the rear end again. Because we're not taking our lessons. Yeah? Yeah. So we should be a little afraid of that, right? And we should be a little bit afraid of God. Right? The Shringadev. Right? Yeah. Yeah, because if we're not serious about this, then Krishna will go on teaching us, but he won't teach us by giving us lessons. He'll teach us by kicking us in the rear end. Yeah? Okay. Then the regular what I do is I underline, I extract words. So here it says, regulative principles follows promoted transcendental knowledge. So it comes down to. Yeah. So this is again, if we're following the regulative principles of karma, then we come to jnana. After many lifetimes, regulative principles follows promoted transcendental knowledge after many lifetimes. But who surrenders? Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Lord takes charge of such surrendered soul, frees him from all reactions. So again, this is Krishna's Pushan, right? Yeah. Only a human form of life,
only in a human form of life is it possible to realize these things at all. You know, become a good karmi, right? And out of all of these guys, the only one who actually is successful really is a person who establishes a personal relationship with Krishna. Yeah. We all know that, but the guys who read this book don't know that. And we have to know it better. So it's good to hear it. Yeah. Okay. So I'm paragraph 3. Yeah. A devotee automatically attains the qualifications of an expert brahmana. Yeah. Please free me from all my simple activities. Burn up my simple activities. Make me a brahmana. Because brahmanas are pious. What's the Sanskrit word for a brahmana? It means he's pious.
Suchi.
Okay. Or punyatma. Yeah, punyatma. Yeah. A devotee automatically attains the qualification of an expert brahmana. What's the verse from the Bhagavatam which talks about that? Yes, Yashasti Bhagavati Akinchana. What's the text number? Five, 18, 12. Yeah. Mnemonic for that. Yeah. That's quoted in Nectar of Instruction. Again, if you just memorize all the verses in Nectar of Instruction, oh, you're very good. Strong. A basis for presenting the philosophy. So he's still talking about this. Burn up my simple reactions. Text number 4, paragraph number 4. Since now we're talking about the omnipotent Lord. The omnipotent Lord is situated within everyone's heart, and therefore he can show us the right path. Yeah? Please show me the right path. Well, how's he going to do it? Yeah, from within the heart. This is something we shouldn't minimize. Again and again and again, Krishna makes this point that really we have to appreciate Chaitanya Guru like that. But it's really only possible for initiated devotee. Prabhupada said, they go hand in hand, both sides. Yeah.
Even if they don't want it.
Right on.
Lord Chaitanya gives mercy to everybody without consideration.
Yeah.
Krishna gives mercy to who surrenders.
Yes.
Lord Nityananda gives mercy even if he desires something else.
Yes. Yes. Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Wow. Yeah. Paragraph 5. In this mantra of Isha Upanishad, the devotee prays to the Lord to rectify him within his heart. Yeah. So, such directions are given to the sincere devotee in two ways. How does Krishna inform us? Huh? No? That's only part of it. Guru, sadhu, and shastra, externally it says. Guru, sadhu, and shastra externally and internally?
Paramatma.
As a paramatma. Yeah. Yeah. So, very good to appreciate that we... In the very beginning, again and again, in the very beginning of Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada says, as soon as we're in the mode of goodness, everything else will automatically be revealed. So we have to trust our intuition. Right? You know, as Krishna talking to us, giving us, we have to, you know, use our common sense, you know, to guide ourselves in devotional service. You know? And if we kind of reject that, you know, there's one Christian cross, one guy's quoting it. And a nice prayer. It says, I am your friend, but you betrayed me. I am your wife, but you have abandoned me. Because all these things like that, you know, it's bad things you can do. And I am your counselor, but you will not listen to me. So therefore, seal up your soul with tears and never blame me. That's really heavy like that. You know? But you know, he's talking about being the Paramatma, but if we don't listen, then how can we blame the Paramatma? So we have to listen to these, our intuition inside, and we have, oh, it's just a thought, Prabhu, I don't have to listen to it. Yeah, it's just little speculation. No, you have to also respect your intuition inside and then surrender to it.
Then how can we distinguish between our mind and the Paramatma?
You know. Now, sometimes we know that's another excuse. We know this is an excuse not to surrender, but I know this is really good advice. I should do this by bhakti, you know, by desire to serve Krishna. Beyond that, externally is confirmed by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Rivatinandan Swami told us one time, he asked Prabhupada, he asked a lot of good questions, very intelligent, you know. Prabhupada, some of your disciples think that you're conscious of everything they're doing. like if you're washing the temple room floor, that you're conscious of this. Is that true? And he said, the Prabhupada said, I am not the Paramatma. When I need to know something about a devotee, a disciple, Krishna informs me, and usually externally. For example, I would be in Mayapur, and I'm wondering, how is Bhaktadas, president in San Francisco, doing? Next day, somebody will come from San Francisco, and I can ask him, well, how's Bhaktadas, like that. So externally, I've asked somebody, and I'm speculating, he tells me. But internally, I know that, Krishna, I can trust this guy, like that. You know? So both sides are there. Osama bin Laden was sure that God wanted him to destroy all those people. You know? Okay, but he should confirm that with scripture and these kind of things. It doesn't say that. He should talk to his guru. You know, talk to saintly people. And they'll say, no, you should go there and you should challenge George Bush to a one-on-one fight in the deserts of Arabia. Come on, George, if you're a man, come and fight me. Man to man. Like that, you know? Yeah. Yeah. That's you know, what Muhammad says. You should trust in Allah. And,
Sometimes it happens that in our situation something happens and we don't even extend for any help, but everybody around tries to come and preach.
Yeah.
That time we don't even have the time to listen to what Paramatma is trying to tell us.
Yeah.
Or just
in our very last sentence. The very last, it should be, which we have to be appreciate. Like I'm saying, we have to appreciate the Paramatma, and the thing, we have to be responsible for our insights and stuff like that, and appreciation. He's going to talk to us if we listen. Somebody told me, I heard Prabhupada say it. Yeah. 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 You say by bhakti you can tell. You know. Prabhupada said, I think I heard him say it, that the spiritual master trains the disciple to appreciate the promptings of the Paramatma so that in his absence, you know, he can take shelter of that. The same way the mother trains a little child to understand when he has to urinate, like that. And so, your mother began to teach you, like, you know, how to control yourself. You're urinating everywhere. And so, there are different sensations in the body, like that. Not the tongue, not the stomach. And so, you begin to identify these things. And she's telling you now, do this and that. And oh, yeah, okay. Then you begin to understand. Okay, now I have to urinate. You know? One story. One lady had trained her little boy how to control his movements. And then she dressed him all up in a little suit to take him to church, and he passed urine in his suit and shirt like that. So she was chastising him. He did it on purpose, this and that. And psychologists were saying, no, because you dressed him all up like that, and he lost consciousness of his body image. He didn't like, what is the sensation from this and that, and he just lost his ability to distinguish these things. So same way, after some time, he began to, Prabhupada saying, why did you do this stupid thing? You know, he said, Prabhupada, I didn't know you. You know, Krishna must have told you not to do it. Well, that was Krishna, huh, Prabhupada? Yeah, that was Krishna. Oh, you're like a Prabhupada. Yeah. You know, so like that, he's telling us when to, that is not Krishna, that is your stupid speculation. Oh, thank you, Prabhupada. Okay, Paramatma's here, as I said, head in my stomach. Yeah, okay. You know. There are many gods within, you know, like that. But this is the one in the heart, region of the heart. And so many times you can do that. You can see I'm just kind of functioning on my head, you know, or functioning on my stomach, and you didn't try and, like, you know, go to the center of your existence. You know, forget the pumping muscle, the center of my existence. And then it's like, it's more profound. And that's, it's a little different than what my stomach wants, you know, like that. So as you go on chanting, you try and chant from the heart, right? You know, not from just the head, you know, the mouth, the head, the senses, and then. What does the heart mean? The heart means there's meaning. Huh? There's meaning. Huh? It's okay. Yeah. We have a dialogue here. Okay. Where are we here? Omnipotent Lord. What are we on here?
This paragraph is over.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the heart. Yeah, okay. Number six. Seven. Okay. I have underlined spiritual master Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. Oh yeah. Vedic knowledge, we probably said this before very nicely. Vedic knowledge is transcendental and it cannot be understood by mundane educational procedures. So you're asking that, no? We penetrate by knowledge, yeah. But you can't understand it by mundane educational features. And before Prabhupada said is that the Vedas are a very extraordinary collection of books which cannot be understood like this and that. And
I think it is now bringing the point you raised initially.
Yeah.
That, you know, mundane scholars.
Yeah.
Now it is reinstating that point in
their minds.
It has established that and now Prabhupada is again reminding them.
You've
educated yourself enough, but don't think, you know, you can go ahead in this way reading other books if you may.
Yeah. And because in India it's very popular to read a lot of books and know a lot of philosophy and argue like that. America's not ice cream there. No. Because that's a lot of what you learn is how to learn. Right? They teach you how to learn, you know. For example, you learn how to count. It's one thing, big thing in the West or in our modern society is how to count, you know. But it's actually a whole weird thing because, I mean, how can you make, everything is different, right? So how can you say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? So it's a whole intellectual thing about being able to count, you know, like that. And so we learn how to count, okay? And you learn other things like that. So it's a whole they're teaching us how to know. But one of the things they're not teaching us is that, you know, by hearing submissively from an authority, how to distinguish who is an authority, like that. You know, it's important, but it's a whole different process. You know, what's one verse in Bhagavad Gita which summarizes the educational process? Yeah, Prabhupada quotes it many times. Verse number?
434.
You got it, yeah. Yeah. Is he quoted in Upadeshamrita? Yeah. He also quotes Tasma Guru Prapadjita Jigna Sesre Uttama and Tadvignan Artam Sa Guru Eva Vigajet. Those three he quotes many times, like that. So probably if we investigate them, we'll find out that they're very principal texts, you know, from the Upanishads that, you know, that different Mayavadi groups hate and stuff like that. So much reason behind everything that Prabhupada does. You know. Okay, so Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. If one takes shelter of bona fide spiritual master, as he understood he has obtained the grace of the Lord, the Lord appears as a spiritual master for the devotee. Thus the spiritual master, the Vedic injunctions of the Lord himself within, all guide the devotee in full strength. This way there is no chance for a devotee to fall again into the mire of material illusion. That's Bhagavad Gita 4:35. Thus protected all around, he is sure to reach the ultimate destination of perfection. Okay, so this is the Madhyamadhikari, you know? Yeah, he's still on the path. Right? He's going ahead like that. But he's even at that level, he's protected by so many things like that. You know? Yeah. The entire process is hinted at in this mantra in Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, here we go. 1:17-20 explains 1:17-20. Huh? Oh, yeah, okay, that's it, yeah.
Yes.
So many times.
Yeah? No? I know that.
Oh. So many times Prabhupada.
Oh, yeah, I know. Again and again. Okay, where does it... Yeah, yeah. Where does it appear in the Bhagavad Gita?
7:1.
Yeah. It's almost as much as 4:10. Adoshvada. The same thing, Adoshvada, Sadhu Sangha. Everything is explained, practically speaking, everything is explained in Chapter 2 of the Bhagavatam. The sages asked all the questions, and almost all the questions except for one are answered in the second canto. The first canto, second chapter. So you see so many times Prabhupada quoting that. Some devotees memorize the entire second chapter. And again, it's long series like that. Then third chapter, it talks about the avatars. Like that, you know. So it's complete. If you just learn the first few chapters of Bhagavatam well, you're such a transcendental person like that. Yeah. Yeah. As all doubts diminish, he becomes a pure devotee and makes further progress. Oh my God. Yeah. So, that's it. Appendices about the author. Hang on here. Okay, this goes. Actually, they haven't updated this biography. Krishna consciousness at home. I have that in my book. You have it in your book? Okay, so I guess he has copied this. Yeah. And then a glossary. As far as I'm concerned, most for this one, the glossary might be useful. Usually they're useless. But this one, you can go through and read the glossary and look up the words like that. What do they mean? You know, chit, the Supreme Lord's aspect of knowledge. Dvijabandhu, one born in a Brahmin family but not qualified as a Brahmana. Guru, a spiritual master. Wow. Yeah. And then finally the index. And the indexes are good. I mean, you can actually use them. If you have a general idea of what you're trying to find, the indexes many times will, you can find all kinds of things like that. Yeah, so it's worth, learning how to use the index. Okay. Any final questions, comments, complaints, or donations? We accept ripe bananas. Huh? No, it was done by Gopi Puranadana or Sankarpada Puranadana. Another devotee in Los Angeles was very good at that. Yeah. No, it was after Papa left his body. Yeah. Okay. On page 128. We're hoping your book is the same as my book.
Yes.
Okay, 128. Hang on. Don't go away. Dariyat. Mantra 17.
128.
Okay.
Paragraph number?
Second paragraph. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains.
Yeah, okay.
I couldn't understand why after telling the process of devotional service, this person who falls down, something about that, what is the connection of this? The gear, this is Sudhurachar, that is
really
How that is relevant in this story?
No, because this is a very nice verse, because it says that, Madhyamadhikari, Uttamadhikari don't fall down. So therefore, none of the gurus in ISKCON can be Madhyamadhikaris or Uttamadhikaris. They must all be Kanishtadhikaris. We're all Kanishtadhikaris. Yeah. Because they fall down. But here it's talking about falling down. Right? And acharo, what does acharo mean?
Behavior.
Duracharo? What is sudaracharo? Prabhupada translates as abominable. And who's falling into this?
Devotee.
What kind of devotee? Ananya bhak. So even ananya bhak can fall into abominable activities. Why? Because it's saying the material nature is so tricky, so strong. And again, it's just, but the thing is, he's a devotee. Like that, So he doesn't go through it like an ordinary person. He falls down, he laments like anything. And even if he has to go through for some time, he doesn't lose his, internally, he's still a devotee. One time I was asking, most of Prabhupada's disciples don't follow the four principles strictly or chant 16 rounds, like that. I've heard Prabhupada say, most of the people I'm initiating are not going to go back to Godhead, they're going to go to Indraloka. Because they did. They did severe austerities. They sincere austerities, everything else for some time. But then they kind of, different reasons, But only, I talked to so many people, but every one of them remembers they want to be a devotee. They want to stop smoking and they want to, get back into it. And it's so common that after your Grihamedi ashram, you come to Vanaprastha and you get back into it again. I made my $1 million, My kids are all grown up, they don't give a damn about me. They're, living here and there. We're family and stuff, but they have their own lives. They don't, care about me anymore. And my wife and I are looking at each other and remembering we she was a Brahmacharini, I a Brahmachari. Okay, well now is Vanaprastha. So it's very common that you go into Grihastha Ashram, you try it out, and the experiment is more or less controlled. Like that. Maybe at least you're vegetarian, Or it's like this or that or something. Different levels of how much devotees, get in Maya and what their standard is. And they have an experience like that. But yeah, it works. Then after that, they go into Vanaprastha. And then they get fired up again. So you see more and more devotees are coming back like that. There's so many people coming back, even like the last 2 years, like really heavy Rameshwar, Bhavananda Prabhu, Hansa Duda, Treya Rishi, is like Krishna's planning something or something, So it can happen, But that's the point is that, then Krishna, Krishna remembers him and helps him and stuff like that. And he's also praying to Krishna. Okay? Yeah. Sudaraksharam.
No.
But here the Paramatma and conscience is same. Sometimes we say in English there's conscience.
Consciousness.
Conscience.
Conscience, yeah.
Is the Paramatma?
Yep.
And
yep.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that because of lust one falls into sinful activity. So
yeah.
When due to lust one is not able to get the message of the Paramatma, it's
you don't feel guilty. Yeah. Or else your guilt is not strong enough. Yeah. You're strong. Actually, we were reading Hamlet last night, and the evil king said, "My strong intent defeats my conscience. My strong guilt is defeated by my stronger intent." Like that, you feel guilty about it, but your lust is stronger than that because it's telling you, "Don't do it." Yeah? But you just so much more to passion. Can't control yourself. Ever have that experience? Yeah. Yeah, we all so many times. You know, I shouldn't do this, but yeah, I just eat too much and everything else. You know, read something. You know, yeah. But we try. You know, and as we're trying, then you know, Krishna appreciates you tried your best. You know, and so then he helps us more to become more purified. So it's a gradual process like that. And as we're going up, we may have one big fall down. You know, but it's just like again, it's just external fall. That's the point. That these are external fall downs. Out of all these people, only two people I actually met had actually given up the desire to be devotees. So these are moral fall downs, but not spiritual fall downs. Right? That the desire is still there to be a devotee. Almost might say, once you come to the level of second initiation, the public criticized many temple presidents for not making the standard proper like that. You know, so sometimes as that went on. But in general, if you really came to the standard of second initiation like that, then you're Brahman, na sociati, na kangsati. At that point, it's just very difficult not to remember that experience and stuff like that and keep some perspective like that, you know? So he falls down, he could fall down ethically, morally, but doesn't fall down from the desire to serve Krishna. Right? Yeah. You know what? Different devotees I know. Yeah. So these two people I'm talking about, they cultivated for a long time, giving up Krishna. They intentionally, consciously eliminated all their experiences, everything else, and they forgot about Krishna and their taste like that. But it's a gradual process up. It's a gradual process down. It took them, one devotee, he had to go to analysis for 15 years before he could have sex without guilt. Like that. Before he could engage in illicit sex without feeling bad about it. So he went to a psychologist, he said, for 15 years, he said, but now I don't feel bad anymore when I'm having a good time. Like that. No. But even still, it was like, yeah. So many things. Psychologists will help you. Vedavata Rata psychologists. So they, like that. You have so many, you know. Forgive yourself, like that, on and on. So,
this
subtitle to
the
appropriation
mission, the knowledge that brings you closer to the Supreme.
Yeah.
How does, is this the translation, or how is this material? I don't know. I mean, again, at the end of the,
yeah.
It says, thus, and the knowledge that brings you nearer to the Supreme.
Yeah. Because again, this whole thing is impersonal like that, you're saying. You know? We're saying the final conclusion is Jnana Mishra Bhakti. I don't think so. Upanishad. Yeah, Isha. Because, it's talking about Ishvara. So it's the Isha Upanishad. Where in Prabhupada's books are the 108 Upanishads mentioned? Where's the list in Prabhupada's books? In Prabhupada's books, is there a list? In Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, does he have a list of the Upanishads? Bhagavad Gita, all 108 are listed? The names? No. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 7, Text Number 108. Wow. For some time I had this fanaticism with the number 108, on and on like that. And then I was... Again and again, I saw the Prabhupada kind of the same fanaticism. That's where it is. It's Adi Lila, Chapter 7. Prabhupada printed that as a separate book first, Lord Chaitanya and Five Features. So you look in text number, this. It's just, there's no reason, really no reason to put it there, but it's almost just like, it's kind of like discussion number 108. But it's very interesting, because if you go through all 108, one Upanishad is listed twice. You know, one name appears twice. So maybe there's two Upanishads with the same name, or else it's a mistake like that. Yeah. Yeah. But Prabhupada didn't give you everything. Here you go, his book. Just a second. Oh, so much, you know. Yeah. For every Rig Veda, Samaveda, Yajurveda, there's the mantras, which are called the Samhita, and there's the Brahmana associated with that Veda, which are like the techniques, I think, the rituals. Then there's the Aranyaka, I think for Vanaprastas, and then there's the Upanishads, which are for the sannyasis, the jnanis. So if you look on the internet, I looked it up, and there was, you know, translation, and there were all the Yajurveda Upanishad. And this is the very last one of them. I forgot what it is, like maybe 50 or something, 25 different.
It's a small part of Yajurveda.
No, it's separate from what?
It's a small extract from Yajurveda.
No. These are the Upanishads associated with the Yajurveda mantras. For the original Samhita, the original mantras of each Veda, there is a Brahmana, an Aranyaka, and Upanishad for every single one of them. So these are from the Upanishad mantras associated with the Yajurveda. And this is the very last one, like that, which is why the British say it was added later, you know, like that. Somebody says, my wife.
The combination of these four is called Veda, or Veda is separate and they are four?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know exactly, you know, how people talk about it nowadays. But they do say that the original Samhita, like that, the Yajurveda. Yeah. So I don't know, you know, how they talk about it. Yeah. And again, just different people from different places. Yeah. Okay. So again, it's nice, right? You can, it's one of Prabhupada's books, and some people, you know, like it. Yeah. I don't know if I'll ever teach it again. I like to teach Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, like that, and so on. You know, and so I don't know. It's a whole thing. You cannot possibly know everything that Prabhupada wrote. So you got to pick out certain things and see how they're useful. And eventually, usually you see people say about by 30 years old you should have your career. In your 20s, you can try different things. And by the time you reach 30, you should figure it out, okay, in my life, this is what I should be doing, like this is my mission, like that. So the same thing as a devotee by 30 years old, you got your preaching program settled down and what you're going to be doing like that and stuff, you know? I know some people, food for life, that's your thing. It is, yeah, that's it, that's what I should be doing, is distributing prasadam and like that. Okay, it's great. Okay. So Prabhupada ki jai. And now we return control to our sponsor. Do 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 do.
Control is always a question.
Okay. Ishwara.
Ishwara.
Ishwara Das. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much for, on behalf of the Mayapur Institute and all the students attending this Bhakti Shastri course, we'd like to thank you so much for your guidance and your instruction. I'm sure that all of us will agree that we benefit tremendously from your association and your insight. Marge reminds me that there will be another session tonight at 6:30 to 7:30. So the last one for Marge.
February 11th.
So before Marge leaves, as a little token of our appreciation from the Mayapur Institute, we'd like to offer Marge and we request Marge to please distribute this Mahaprasadam. Before we do that, there's two announcements I'd like to make in regards to your assessments. Just to keep you tuned, you see. So, in terms of your closed book test, the date has been brought forward. You will not write on the 5th. Now you will write on the 3rd, which is Wednesday. Okay? And I never heard devotees so excited about assessment before. So please keep that in mind. And also a reminder about the Bhakti Sadachar classes, which will be held on Saturday and Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's the last day. So please, the first session is 10 to 1. Second one is
3 to 6.
So those of you that are planning to attend, today will be more or less the last day you can register for that. One more reminder in terms of your sadhana sheets, that's to be handed in today to His Grace Rupa Goswami Prabhu. And within the next week or so, you should please try and get your slokas done with His Grace Govinda Prem Prabhu. Yeah? Friday is the last day, the 5th of February, for the first slokas. Yeah. But please don't make a traffic jam and everybody come on Friday. Give him a break. He's also studying and he needs time to get his work done. Thank you very much. Time for prasadam. And Kumar Leela has salvaged some Mahaprasad from Lord Nityananda's Tairasi celebrations. I get the first
toast. What is it? Exam time.